This audio is brought to you by Muslim Central. Please consider donating to help cover our running costs and future projects by visiting www.muslimcentral.com/donate.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Wa salatu wa salamu ala Sayyidil Mursaleen wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa baraka wa sallama tasliman kathiran ila yawmiddin amma ba'd. Today is a very important chapter. All the chapters about Jannah are important, but this one in particular, this week and inshallah next week, we'll be discussing something very, very specific, that when people tend to speak about Jannah, especially for men, this becomes a big issue, and thus it becomes a big issue for women as well. This chapter is about the women of paradise. We spoke about the servants of paradise. This is about the women of paradise, their beauty, their characteristics, their both inner and outer beauty, and their very specific inner and outer characteristics. The first verse we're going to quote in that, we're going to do it based on the verses in the Quran, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala discusses this very in much detail. Surah Al-Baqarah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and I start off the reading, أعوذ بالله. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم وبشر الذين آمنوا وعملوا الصالحات أن لهم جنات تجري من تحتها الأنهار كلما رزقوا منها من ثمرة رزقا قالوا هذا الذي رزقنا من قبل وأتوا به متشابها ولهم فيها أزواج مطهرة وهم فيها خالدون. Allah says, give glad tidings to those who believe and who do good deeds, who have done good deeds, that for them are gardens under which will flow rivers. Every time they will be provided and they will be given some fruit to be eaten as sustenance, they will say that this is what we were given before, or this is something that we have been fed with before. وَأُتُوا بِهِ مُتَشَابِهًا. But it will be similar to, it will be similar to what has been brought to them. And in them, and in there, in paradise, in these gardens, will be for them pure spouses. Pure spouses. And they will dwell in there forever. So a number of things Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is mentioning here. Firstly, think of who is saying this. It is the Bashara, the glad tidings, is being given by the most majestic, by the one who has the greatest might and honor and dignity, our Creator. He is the truthful one. And he is giving this glad tiding to the one who he has sent to humankind with this glad tiding. So it is coming from Allah to his messenger. And then think about the nature of what is being given as the glad tiding. And what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions in these verses, the different points that are combined here, is number one, it will be, the body will be of a nourishment, the body will be nourished in a certain way in paradise. The fruits, the streams, this straight away, we've got a house for you, it's got a nice water stream that runs in its yard. Can you imagine how much that house is going to cost in Walthamstow or Hackney? If you've got a nice stream going through. People make these artificial ponds. Swimming pool, just forget about it. But if you've got a nice natural stream and you can hear it. I once visited the Islamic Tech Society. It's based just outside of Cambridge. And they've got a wonderful building. And it's got a nice stream next to it. Just the sound of the water is just so natural and just so soothing. So number one, it's got that. Number two, fruit trees. SubhanAllah, fruit trees. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala depicts that entire idea. Then the next benefit is something for the nafs. The human being loves a spouse. A lot of comfort is derived from a spouse. That's why they say that people who are married generally fare better in terms of depression and a number of other things. It's just a natural partnership that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created. That's why you call them zawj. Zawj means a partner. And then after that, above that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about the bounties of the heart, gladness of the eyes, by saying that now this is something you'll have forever. It's not just 5 days in a luxury hotel on a remote island somewhere. This is going to be forever. That again gives you another sense of satisfaction that this is mine now, a sense of possession. Human beings are not just, human beings don't just benefit from seeing something, but knowing something is yours adds an additional level to that benefit. One is, you know, you've got something, but the access is only for a certain amount of time. Very different from something that this is mine now. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala provides that entire thing by saying at the end that this is yours forever. Now what we're going to do here is that in all of these verses that speak about the spouses of paradise, the women of paradise specifically, we're going to be looking at every single word and seeing what exactly it means and what the scholars have said in terms of what it means. So we get a good full picture, because you'll see how the ulama have discussed this and how the picture becomes much more enhanced. Firstly, the big word here is azwaj. Azwaj means generally spouses. It's the plural of zawj. So in Arabic, zawj, and the plural is azwaj. Zawj, this is zawjul rajul. The zawj of a man is his wife. Right? And he is her zawj. So it can be used in for both sides. He is her zawj and she is his zawj. Because zawj just literally means a partner in that sense. The lugha of the Quraysh. This is according to the language of the Quraysh. This is what Allah subhanahu, the Quran has been, is in the language of the Quraysh. Because in that time there were a number of other tribes that used to have slight different modified Arabic. So this is in the Quraysh. That's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Uskun anta wa zawjuka al-jannah. If you see in the Quran, generally the word zawj has been used for the wife. Though in modern Arabic, they generally say zawjah, zawjatun, for the wife, to feminize it, and zawjun for the man, to make that distinction. But if you look in hadith, generally the word zawj is used in the Quran. Generally the word zawj is used for the wife. And ba'laha, ba'l, is used for the husband. But now in modern Arabic, you just say zawj and zawja. That's why Ibn al-Qayyim says, وَمِنَ الْعَرَبِ مَنْ يَقُولْ زَوْجَةٌ وَهُوَ نَادِرٌ لَا يَكَادُونِ يَقُولُونَ. This is in those days. He's saying that among the Arabs, there are some who say زَوْجَةٌ as a feminine for the wife. But he says that this is very seldom, and very few people actually say this. But today, this is what they say. So azwaj essentially just means the spouse, the wife. Mutahara. Azwajum mutahara. Mutahara comes from tuhur, which means pure. And what do you mean by pure wives in paradise? Think about it. What does he mean by pure? It could be so many meanings. That's why he explains that they are, number one, pure in terms of they don't have menstruation. They don't have to urinate. They don't have postnatal bleeding. They don't have to defecate. They don't have to blow their nose. They don't have to spit around. And they are purified from all other types of filth. So anything that may put anybody off for even a short period in this world, a person who is married, there are days where certain things are impermissible. However, in paradise, none of that applies. It's perpetual and at any time. No kind of filth whatsoever. Number two, that is from an external filth aspect. None of that will apply there. Then they, inside the akhlaq, the character, is also purified. So there is no nagging, Just think of anything that a person doesn't like about their spouse. The bothersome qualities. They snore at night. Okay, that's very tough. I mean, if you have to go and travel with somebody and they snore, okay, you know it's for 2 days, 5 days, 2 weeks maybe. But if you have to live with somebody that snores forever, that's a tough one. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala relieve that problem if somebody has it. But here we know that in terms of akhlaq and character, there is no nagging, there is no problem, there is no jealousy, there is no paranoia, there is no suspicion, there is nothing. Number three, the tongue will be purified of any kind of vulgarity, any kind of rudeness. PMT will not apply, premenstrual tension. That doesn't apply there. There will be no hormonal issues. It will just be calm, serene, as a person will be made happy through this. And so that's another type of purification, purified of any kind of vulgarity, obscenity from the tongue. You won't have to hear anything that you don't like. Then, over and above that, another type of purification is purification of the heart and the eyes. So they will not look towards anybody else. You will never have to worry. You will have the most beautiful person in your sight, and you won't have to worry that they will look towards anybody else and you may lose them one day. That's another major point of satisfaction. And of course, the clothing will be of the most purest quality. And thus there will be no filth, and it will be the best that even money cannot buy. So that is what it means by azwajum mutahara, pure in every sense, from external to internal, and in every sense. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in another verse in Surah Al-Dukhan, innal muttaqeen fi maqamin amin, fi jannatin wa uyun, يَلْبَسُونَ مِنْ سُنْدُسٍ وَإِسْتَبْرَقٍ مُتَقَابِلِينَ كَذَلِكَ وَزَوَّجْنَاهُمْ بِحُورٍ عِينٍ يَدْعُونَ فِيهَا بِكُلِّ فَاكِهَةٍ آمِنِينَ لَا يَذُوقُونَ فِيهَا الْمَوْتَ إِلَّا الْمَوْتَةَ الْأُولَى وَوَقَاهُمْ عَذَابَ الْجَحِيمِ. Verily, those who fear their Lord will be in safe abodes, in gardens and among lakes, rivers, streams. That's the norm. They will wear in their both refined thick brocade and fine brocade, be sitting facing one another. Likewise, we will partner them. We will give them as spouses. Hurun Een. I'm going to describe Hurun Een. So I'll just say it Hurun Een now, because we want to understand that properly. They will call for all types of fruits with complete safety, knowing that what they get will be most pure. They will not taste in it death, except that first death. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will protect them from the punishment of the fire. So again, a number of different points of comfort and satisfaction are being provided. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells you here first that you're going to have a beautiful abode, and you will be completely safe from any kind of reprehensible thing that may happen to you. You will be completely safe. Every country in the world is different. We have certain challenges in this country, and yet in other things, there's a lot of comfort. And by contrast, there are other places where the things that are challenging for us here are not a challenge. They're quite comfortable in that sense, but they have other challenges. I just returned from South Africa, and it has the weather, it has the fruits, it has the beauty of nature. Right? The only problem is that it doesn't have much security. You're not safe. But people find it difficult to leave because of the other aspects of beauty. When the weather is good, it's beautiful. the fruit trees, the rivers, the lakes, the oceans, the animals, the nature, all of that is there, which we don't have in the UK as much. But they don't have security. You could be mugged, you could be hijacked, you could be robbed at any time. Which, alhamdulillah, we have that kind of safety here. You walk about at any time at night here, you go home, and less likely, there's a likelihood anywhere in the world, but there's a less likelihood. Whereas there, all the homes are barred, electric fences, and so on and so forth. Now, what a life for those people who are going from a place of security to those places. They will think, how can you live like this? There must be, humans get used to these things. But in paradise, maqamin amin, absolute safety from anything that may be despicable, anything that may be harmful. And then of course Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala again speaks about the flowers, the fruits, the lakes, the streams, talks about the most refined type of dress, and talks about being with your spouse, mutaqabileen, sitting together. Not having to go off on a business trip, be off somewhere else, they have to work, we have to work. Nothing of that nature. And then a complete sense of satisfaction and pleasure with the hurul een. And then the ability to ask for whichever fruit that you want. Without feeling that something will go out of season. What's very interesting is that now what they are saying is that this, in our Western countries, including England, where you can go to the supermarket at any time of the year and get a number of different vegetables and fruits, they go to huge amounts of effort to make sure that you have those vegetables, even though they're out of season, by bringing them from different countries, and sometimes not even at great profit. But just so that you know that you can go to this supermarket and get whatever you want. And now the studies are showing that these things aren't sustainable anymore. There's just too much global resources that are being invested into this. And it's just not sustainable anymore. Because when you go to other countries, it's not like that. So things are out of season, they are out of season. I'm going to get them. But here, it's a different story in the West, but it's not sustainable. It's almost like you're trying to make it like paradise, in a sense. But it's not sustainable because the world has only so much resources. And then, in here, this will definitely be the case that it's Allah says, يَدْعُونَ فِيهَا بِكُلِّ فَاكِهَةٍ آمِنِينَ. You can call for any fruit that you want with complete assurity that you will get it, and it will taste nice. And you will not be harmed by anything in there, and at the end Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala puts a seal on there by saying you will never taste death in there. So again, you'll be there forever. Now, what does hur mean? So hur, the word hur, is a plural of hawra. So hur is a plural word, right? Maidens, if we just give a loose translation of that. It's a plural of hawra. A hawra generally is a young woman of extreme beauty and brightness. Dark eyes. Shadidatu sawadil ayn. Dark eyes. And a very, very light complexion. Now you have the mufassireen and their description. I'm going to go through all of them, but just to give you an understanding of how they've described the hurul ayn. Zayd ibn Aslam says the hawra is the one who your eye just beholds and is astonished by their beauty. That's another meaning. It's everything to do with the eyes, whether it's the eye of the maiden or how your eyes will react and will be astonished by it. It says, Hawra, hurun, refers to that which you look at and it totally dazzles you. And een is those with good eyes. So it's hurun een, hur, the dazzling beauty, and een is the eyes. And if you think about makeup, women pay a lot of attention to their eyes. There's only so much you can do with the lips, I mean, women terms. But the eyes, there's so much. Eyeliner, eyeshadow, and cloudy eyes and this eyes and that eyes, and I can't even go into it. You know, eyelash extender, false eyelashes, and then whatever. There's just so many things, right? I'm sure women will be able to talk much more about this. So eyes are a very important thing. The way eyes are augmented in a particular way with all of these additional, with all of this additional makeup. So these one will have naturally the best of eyes for a person. So that's why een, eyes, very important. And hur is that which dazzles our eyes. Mujahid, another mufassir, says, hawra is that which bedazzles the eyes because of the refined skin, complexion, and the completely, and the beautiful, says, riqqatul jild, the fine skin, and the absolutely refined complexion. If we had a model, a person who deals with model here, he would have been able to explain this. Because they deal with this to a level of obsession, crazy obsession. Women understand this, right? For men, it's just that it needs to look good, and this is exactly what it is. You know, when women speak, oh, she's got very fair skin. She's got no spots. Not a single spot. Men don't care about that kind of stuff generally. We just like, so it's nice. But women actually, this is what they focus on. Men just like, okay, it's nice. But women look at all of this. It's just so fair. It's like this, it's like that. So Allah's giving us all of that. Hasan al-Basri, he says, al-hawra is that absolute whiteness of the eye and the darkness, the blackness of the pupil, the absolute contrast that that provides. Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu says that the word hur in Arabic comes from white. That's what he says. Likewise, this is what Qatada says, that hur means bid, which means white. And it's so white and refined that it bedazzles the eyes. That's where they get that bedazzling idea. Whereas Mujahid says that hur al-hurul ain is that which bedazzles the eyes, and you can see the it is so perfect, their skin, that you could actually make out the marrow of their bones from even behind their garments. Very difficult to understand that. But you'll understand that later when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes them as كَأَنَّهُنَّ الْيَاقُوتُ وَالْمَرْجَانِ. It is as though they are rubies and coral. Now a ruby, if you have a nice ruby and you have a string through it, you'll be able to see the string because of the translucency, the opacity. So it's that kind of an idea. It's just probably so difficult to even understand. So now, some of these meanings may be extended meanings in terms of what it results in because of that. But generally, hur means whiteness. Right? Hur means whiteness. And obviously that bedazzles the eyes, and that's why some have described it as being very, very dazzling to the eyes. The een is the plural of ayna. So hur was hawra. Aynun is the plural of ayna, which means large eyes, prominent eyes. So what it means is those eyes which combine all of the aspects of beauty of the eyes. Anything that is considered to be beauty of the eyes, that the fashion people would think about generally, that is what it means. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَزَوَّجْنَاهُمْ بِحُورٍ عِينٍ. We will make them a partner to, we will marry them to this حُورٌ عِينٍ. Which means we'll make them into husband and wife. Join them together. There's a difference of opinion as to whether you'll have to be married or you'll just be paired together without having to have a nikah done. That's another discussion. Then Allah says, فِيهِنَّ قَاصِرَاتُ الطَّرْفِ لَمْ يَطْمِثْهُنَّ إِنْسٌ قَبْلَهُمْ وَلَا جَانٌ. Surah Ar-Rahman. In it will be maidens who will keep their gaze constrained. That's one way of translating. قَاصِرَاتُ الطَّرْفِ. Keep their gaze constrained. لَمْ يَطْمِثْهُنَّ. They would not have been touched by. Insun qablahum wala jan. No human being or no jinn would have touched them before this. Completely untouched virgins. Fabi ayyi ala'i rabbikuma tukadhiban. So which of the favors of your Lord will you deny? Ka annahunna al-yaqut wal marjan. They are as rubies and coral. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala now describes them in three places in the Quran as qasiratul tarf, constraining the eyes. First place was this, which was in Surah Ar-Rahman. Then in another, وَعِنْدَهُمْ قَاصِرَاتُ الطَّرْفِعِينَ, similar. And number three, وَعِنْدَهُمْ قَاصِرَاتُ الطَّرْفِ أَتْرَابِ. So there are three places. The Mufassirina agreed that the meaning of this is that they will be completely, entirely, perpetually focused on their spouses and nobody else. So it'll be absolute safety that you don't have to worry about jealousy, you don't have to worry about somebody stealing your wife, you don't have to worry about having to change your spouse. That one spouse will give you everything. Those spouses of yours will give you everything. Some people say that the meaning is that their husbands will also satisfy themselves by just looking at them. Just like they will be they will constrain their gaze on their husbands only, the husbands will also constrain their gazes upon them and thus will not have to look at anybody else's. That's also a relief, that you don't have to worry about ghaddul basar and worry about the fitna of looking elsewhere. You'll have so much satisfaction here. The human being in this world, you see, what a lot of people can't understand is that why do men have this desire to marry again? A lot of women think that it's because of their own shortcoming, it's because there's some defect within them. But that is not the case. Most men are just predisposed to want something different, even if they have the best. That's why I heard one person, he said, I've got one of the best wives you could ever. She does everything. She has everything. She gives me everything. She's everything to me. But I just need another wife. Women find it very difficult to understand because they are satisfied with one. Majority will be satisfied with one as long as they've got a sense of security. And they've got their beauty. This is what gives them security. So they can't understand this. It's very difficult for them to understand. Whereas for men, even if got the best thing, they want another one. They've got more greed in that regard. Their shahwa is different. So some have described this as the husbands also now being satisfied with them only. Their beauty will be so captivating that they won't have to look at anybody else. If the fruits you eat are so satisfying that each time, though it's the same looking fruit, it gives you a new sense of pleasure and taste, then the same thing is going to happen with your spouse, and thus you won't have to worry about it because every time it's a new pleasure. Same spouse, new pleasure. That's what paradise gives you. Allahu Akbar. So what does atrab mean? Atrab. Atrab is the plural of tirb, which means something equal to the insan, something similar, parallel, partner, complementary partner to you. That's why Abu Ubaidah and Abu Ishaq says, Akran, asnanuhunna wahida. Your ages will be the same. These spouses you get in paradise, their age will be just like yours. They won't be too young and they won't be old. They will be at the perfect age, 33 years or so. That is the age of absolute maturity, and that's the peak. That's why Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma says, along with the other mufassirin, mustawiyat ala sinnin wahida wa miladin wahid. You'll be all the same age. Banatu thalathin wa thalathin sana. 33 years of age, every single one of them that you have. Atrab amthal. Now, that's the real meaning. But then the extended meaning from that is that they will be at the peak of their youth. 33 years of age, peak of their youth and beauty. That is the best age for youth and beauty. Why is it called atrab though? Atrab comes from the word turab. Turab means soil. So look how the Arab, look how Arabic forms from a source meaning. Turab means soil, right? So now they're both atrab, which means they are both equal in age. They're contemporaries of a very same age, because they touch the soil at the same time. They came from the soil at the same time. That's Arabic works, where the source of the word comes. So none of them will be so old that now they don't look beautiful anymore and you'll have to discard them, worry about them. Nothing of that nature. Neither are they so young that you can't have pleasure with them. Now, there will be young servants. The only young people in paradise will be the young servants. Everybody else will be 33 years of age, perpetually. And I guess in the world that's what they're looking for. Looking for how to stop your growth. What they've discovered is that there are certain medicines by accident, like for example metformin, which is used for diabetes. They've actually found that although you will continue to age, but certain medicines can keep you just fresher longer, more youthful looking longer. But they can't eliminate your life. Though people are living longer, just probably because of better nourishment and lesser problems and better medical advancements. But there's nothing to delay your age perpetually. There's nothing to delay your age, though there is that can keep you vigorous and looking fresh. That's all. And one thing that exercise does to you, you have to remember, exercise, good healthy eating, is that it will give you a better quality of life, though your lifespan will not change. Because whatever your lifespan is written by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that's going to remain. If somebody's going to die at 70, he's going to die at 70. You're going to die at 80, die, or 50, you're going to die at 50. But if you keep healthy, then you'll have a better quality of life. Imagine a person who's unhealthy is going to live until the age of 70. 15 years of his life is going to be in misery. Because they're bedridden, they can't walk, they're just suffering, constantly having to go to hospital, right? And another person who lives until 70, but has kept fresh, has kept healthy, then they're just going to have a better quality of life, they'll be more productive, less burdensome on somebody else. So that's the argument for good exercise and healthy eating. May Allah give us the tawfiq. It doesn't change the span of your life. What's written is written. It's just that if it's written you're going to live for 70, you don't want to be miserable for the last 10, 15 years. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah Ar-Rahman, you know, فِيهِنَّ قَاصِرَاتُ الطَّرْفِ لَمْ يَطْمِثْهُنَّ إِنْسٌ قَبْلَهُمْ وَلَا جَانٌ. We understand a few things from here. لَمْ يَطْمِثْهُنَّ طَمَثْ. They have not been touched by. They have not been touched by. So, this word طَمَثَ means that animal, sorry, that camel who's never been touched by a rope. Which means it's never had to be harnessed, never had to be ridden upon, still fresh, ready to go. It's that kind of a meaning. So you take that, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala uses that for the spouses by saying that they've never been touched, they've never been polluted in any way. They're completely pure right now. Tamath, according to Farra, then he extends, it says that it means they have never been penetrated. So obviously they're virgin. They've never had to go through that process, completely pure. Some say that, oh, it means they've never had to undergo menstruation. In this world, menstruation is one of the signs of maturity. Or impregnation is the sign of maturity. But in paradise, they will be mature without having to have all of these things, but yet still retain the beauty of not having had to have those things. It's paradise just gives you the best. So according to the Mufassirin, it means that they've never been impregnated before, they've never been penetrated before, nobody's ever touched them before. Now, is this speaking about the women of this world that will be in paradise? The wives of the world that will be in paradise? Or is this talking about the women, the maidens of paradise? Those that will be created afresh in paradise. They will be created only for paradise. So there's both opinions. However, according to Ibn al-Qayyim, he says that the zahir of the Qur'an, the apparent indication in the Qur'an, is that this description here does not refer to the women of this world. They're supposed to be superior to all of this. This is the description of the maidens of paradise, specifically. They are the hurul ain, because the nisa'ud dunya, the women of this world, they have been touched. And likewise, the women of the jinn have been touched. This hadith, this verse indicates that jinn have a similar setup. Because if you're saying that this is a woman, this is a maiden of paradise who has never been touched by jinn or human, it means that jinn and human do the act just as humans do. Jinn do the same thing. So you learn that from here. Now, there's a question that arises for me, is that will it be the same maidens given to both, same type of maidens given to both jinn and man? Allah knows best. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you see, he says that what proves that this is speaking specifically about the maidens of paradise is that Allah says, حُورٌ مَقْصُورَاتٌ فِي الْخِيَامِ لَمْ يَطْمِثْهُنَّ إِنْسٌ قَبْلَهُمْ وَلَا جَانٌ, that these are those maidens, these حُور, these dazzling white maidens, who are constrained within these tents that we discussed last time, made of pearl, and no human before nor jinn have ever touched them. Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal, he says that the hurul ain, the maidens of paradise with these dazzling eyes, they will not die even when the first trumpet is blasted, because they have been created for perpetuity. And also what we understand from here is that the believers among the jinn will also be in the gardens in paradise, just like their kafirs will be in hellfire. Imam Bukhari mentions this in his Sahih when he says, Babu thawabil jinni wa iqabihim, where he discusses the chapter on the reward of the jinn and their punishment. كَأَنَّهُنَّ الْيَاقُوتُ وَالْمَرْجَانِ, Allah says, they are as though rubies and coral. Allah describes them as resembling coral and rubies. What does that mean? They're going to be red and hard, like a hard stone? No. It means that some of the qualities of that, the translucency, the beauty, it's dazzling, it's just beautiful, it's valuable, it's precious. All of these things. You've seen coral at the bottom of the sea, you know. For those people who've been under the water, right, they will tell you that there is more color down there than there is above the earth. It's amazing. I've seen some, I haven't been down yet, but I've seen some of what is down there. And they say that there's more color down there than there is above. That's amazing. There's so much of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's creation that we still have not discovered. So imagine what paradise is going to be like. So here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is using coral. Coral comes in all various different colors and forms. So this beauty of that is what's being described here. That's why there's a narration which says that a woman of the women of paradise will be wearing 70 garments of silk. It must be some very special silk. You know, good dresses, they are these really expensive good dresses. Not the ones that are to basically reveal the body. We're talking about the ones that are done in a way that is very elaborate. Right? They are made up of different, various different layers of fabric. And here we're talking about 70 layers of fabric of this beautiful silk. Now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can create the most refined silk. Silk is supposed to be a very refined cloth. So this is going to be the thinnest kind of translucent type of silk we're talking about here. فَيُرَى بَيَاضُ سَاقِيهَا مِنْ وَرَائِهِنَّ, you will see the whiteness of their shin and their calves from that fabric. It's just amazing. Because Allah says, كَأَنَّهُنَّ الْيَاقُوتُ وَالْمَرْجَانِ. So he says that, you know, Yaqut is a stone. If you put make a hole in there, you put a thread through it, you'll see the thread. That's how it is. Allah says, "Hurum maqsuratun fil khiyam." So they are constrained. We've dealt with this. I'm not going to do too much of this. We've dealt with this already, that they're constrained in their tents, in these abodes for the people, for their spouses. Then there's one more. Fihinna khayratun hisan is another description in Surah Ar-Rahman. What does that mean? Allah is describing these maidens in different words. Fihinna khayratun hisan. Khayrat. Khayrat is a plural of khayra. It's a plural of khayra. Which is another way of saying khayira. Sayyida, layin like that. And hisan is a plural of hasana. So this is talking about khayrat means excellent, beautiful, fascinating. In terms of their characteristic, and in terms of everything about them. Khayratun hisan. Sufyan relates from Jabir, from Qasim, and so on, from Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, says that لكل مسلم خيرة or خيرة. For every Muslim will be this beautiful maiden. ولكل خيرة خيمة. For every one of those beautiful maidens, they will have a residence. This tent. Every one of these tents will have four doors. And every day from every one of those doors, various different gifts and honorable entries will be made that they've never seen before. Every day you'll be served something afresh. And then it discusses that لا مريحات ولا ذفيرات ولا بخيرات ولا طماحات, which means that they will not look at anybody, they will not be, they will not have any kind of filth, and so on and so forth. Inshallah, next time we will discuss the remaining verses. Inna ansha'nahunna insha'a faja'alnahunna abkara uruban atraba li ashab al yameen. Specifically talking about the age. So inshallah we'll look at that next time. But this gives us a good understanding of now what hurun means, that which dazzles. You have dazzling eyes, in which their complexion, everything is so fine and so beautiful that it dazzles the one who looks at it, and they will remain in there forever. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the tawfiq, and may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us worthy of Jannatul Firdaus. Wa akhiru da'wana anil hamdulillahi rabbil alameen.